Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So this Advent and Christmas season, we wanted to focus on what are better ways to understand hope and peace and joy and love? What are maybe better expectations? What do they really mean in this world often filled with false expectations for what the finished product's going to look like for us? I got a reminder of it the other day. I was driving down the road. I finally let my radio go to Christmas music most of the time now. And that old classic song comes on. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. I've never known a white Christmas. I mean, really? I mean, my oldest son got it a little more accurate from a Texas standpoint. He learned the song, in the meadow we will build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He didn't think Parson Brown. He got the Texas version because I've seen more Parson Brown than I've seen white snowmen. But, you know, we think that maybe snow is what you have to have at Christmas, or maybe there has to be a certain size pile of packages and boxes and bags underneath your Christmas tree, or everybody has to get under the same roof, or whatever our expectations become in that time of the year. And the truth is, Christmas is going to come even without those things. That there is more to Christmas than we often hope for and put our hope in. We talked about that last week, that oftentimes we're hoping for something, like we're wishing for something to happen, and we're going to find fulfillment if our wish comes true and our hopes comes true. But Christian hope is, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It's solid, it's not wishful, it's backed by the promises and the trustworthiness of God. That's our hope, that's true hope. Today we turn our attention to love, and I was just so thankful that Bert asked me if I'd preach today. We've already been hearing it when we talked with our Advent family about God is love, that love is the root of this season. We've already heard it in Reggie and Miss Shield and the boys' voices. I have a place I want to start that may not seem exactly like a Christmas beginning, but I think it's an important beginning for us to really get at the heart of this thing called, what is true love? The story actually starts back on October 14th, 1735. There was a ship loading up in England with 80 English settlers on board and 26 Moravians. On the ship's manifest are a couple names that you may have heard of, John and Charles Wesley. John's been asked by Oglethorpe to come to the Georgia colony, a colony that they're trying to establish for religious freedom and to not have any slavery present. And he's asked John to come and to be a minister to the English people, but also to be a missionary to the Native Americans who are living there. It's a four-month journey, and sometime in the midst of that four-month journey from England to Georgia, they get in the middle of a horrible storm out at sea. It's somewhere in the early evening. The Moravians have gathered to sing songs and hymns, and this storm hits. It rips the mainsail, and John Wesley records that all of the English people are terrified and afraid of the storm, but in the midst of it, the Moravians are peaceful. And he asks them, why are you not afraid? And they begin to share their confidence and their faith with him. As John moved into his ministry in Georgia, he continued to spend time with the Moravians. And one man in particular, John records a conversation where the man says to him, do you know Jesus Christ? And John Wesley responds, I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And the man said, "True, but do you know him as your Savior?" And at that moment, John Wesley couldn't say yes to that question. Now, this wasn't the beginning of his journey. He'd already been involved in the Holy Club at Oxford. He'd been raised in a religious home. His father was an Anglican minister. But the faith that he had found was so fully ingrained in spiritual disciplines and method and being intentional. The faith that he had found was about self-denial, all beautiful things. But what was still fully lacking in his faith, his friend Whitfield would say, is new birth. Another ship, December 22nd, 1737, it's 2 years later. In John's mind, the mission to Georgia has failed. He's leaving town as charges are being pressed against him. He's going back to England in defeat. Another 4 months. And not long after he arrives back in England, he's invited to a gathering of people on May 24th, 1738, at a house on Aldersgate Street. And in the reading of the Martin Luther's words as the preface to the letter to the Romans, John records this that happened to him. While he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. John would later write about that moment, "It pleased God to kindle a fire in my heart, which I trust shall never be extinguished." Now, why am I sharing Aldersgate's story on the second Sunday in Advent? The reason is because I think for us to be fully moved by the true love that God has for us, I need to ask you the same question that was asked of John Wesley. Do you know God in your heart? Do you know about Christ, or do you know Christ? Is the love of God that we talk about a theoretical knowledge that you know about? Or have you been experienced and moved by it? Because I think for us to understand what true love is, that we need to be able to get to that place where we can understand the words that we're about to hear. This morning we're going to be reading from 1 John. It's chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And when we and you hear these words this morning, will you realize that God's as close as the beating of your heart and the breath in your lungs? And will you hear these words at that level in your life? God, as we share these words with one another this morning, I ask that you would come and fill our hearts, and that you would kindle in us, in our hearts, that same fire. That you would send forth your Spirit, that you would fill this room, and that with this encounter with you, that we would be brought into more and more how you've created us to be, as you renew the face of the earth. So instruct our hearts, God. Help us to enjoy your presence and draw close to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're going to read together the words of 1 John 4. I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able, not just out of respect, because I want you to be get a little blood circulating in case you need it right now. And I want us to lift up our voices together and read these words aloud. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The word of God for you and me, the people of God. You may be seated. So right here in this section, and if we went on down a little bit into chapter 5, here there is this concentration, really not like anywhere else in the New Testament, of this talk about love is as pronounced as that 1 Corinthians 13, but from a more theological, from a place not just of description, but of motivation. And this is at the heart. Right here, when we talk about Christmas, when we talk about what God is doing through the incarnation, when we talk about Christ coming to earth, it is right here in these verses. This is where we celebrate at Christmas. I hope even as you heard those, you might have heard some other familiar words that were reverberating in the background. John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave a son so that all of us who believe will have eternal life. God sent Jesus to save the world, not to condemn the world, to meet us where we are. And to do for us what we could not do by ourselves. Here in this passage, John goes on to say, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. See, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loves us. Now, do the Aldersgate move right there for me. See, this is love. Not that I love God, that God loved me.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
God loves you and me. Can you do that? Do you know that? Do you really know how deeply God loves you? It doesn't start in us. It starts in God. And realize when we talk about God loves you, I'm not just saying that God has a mushy, sentimental feeling for you. I'm not saying God's in a good mood today, so he looks really fondly upon you. I'm not even saying you've done and I've done anything to even earn that kind of love from God. God defines love unconditionally, all in, sacrificial by Christmasing, tabernacling, giving his son. It's that kind of love that allows me to walk down death row and look men in the eye who are awaiting their date or who have received their date and still say to them, God loves you unconditionally. See, the very definition of that deep agape love, This true love comes right here, right in these moments, right when God is brought into the world through Christ, right when his entrance into our timeline to deal with and to deliver us from sin and death takes place. God took the initiative for you. God took the initiative for me, for us. Do we know that truest of love? I'm convinced that if we stop right there, if we could convince the church of that, if we could convince the church of God's unconditional love for us and everybody around us, that the church would be different. That we would treat one another different, that we would look at one another different, that Fresh Start boys could walk in here and go, you know what? This is one of the few places where we're not treated differently. That's love. That's church. Do you know that personally, intimately? Because when you know that, when you really understand how deeply God loves you, when you work through all those layers that you got to work to say, I'm not worthy, and how could God love me, and when he really knows everything about me, and I've done this, and I've done that, when you push through all that stuff, and when you arrive, and you achieve that place where with tears flowing from your eyes, and something welling up inside of you, you can know that God really loves you, something changes inside of us. And one of the things that changes inside of us, at least inside of me, is I say, God, what am I supposed to do with this? I just don't believe that you love me like that and I'm just supposed to hoard it and hunker down and just, you know, really enjoy that love. Yes, it's part of it. God, what do you want me to do with all of that love that you're pouring into me? Well, actually, the answer is right here in the scripture. What does God say we're supposed to do? Since God has loved us, we're supposed to love one another. Love one another. Since God loves us, we are compelled to love one another. In fact, in the scripture it says, if you're not loving, you don't even know God. I mean, this is similar to those words that we find in James chapter 2 that says that if you have a real faith, that that's going to show up in the way you live and what you do. If you've got a real love, it should show up in how you're loving on other people. People around you should see it, feel it, know it. Recently, I was looking at a display, and it was all these different voices from abolitionists over the generations, and people who have tried to stop slavery in all of its different forms, even to modern day times. And it seemed like every time I looked at one of the plaques on the wall, the words just jumped out at me like they were bursting with neon LED right in front of me. And every single one of them said, we tried to wake up the sleepy church. If we could just get the church to love and to move, we could eradicate this stuff. And everyone, all across those generations, I saw it over and over and over. If we are loved, we are compelled to love one another. And we know this to be true. We say it. We say it in our communion liturgy. That prayer of confession that starts out, merciful God, we confess that we've not loved you with our whole heart. We've failed to be an obedient church. We haven't done your will. We've broken your law. We've rebelled. We haven't loved our neighbors. We haven't heard the cry of the needy. We realize that what it means to really be loved and to really love means to love one another, us, but also to love the people that God loves. God bless you. We're intended to be motivated to live out of response to God's love. And one of the things that makes this lesson for today so beautiful is the fact that we're here and we're celebrating what God is doing between our church and between A Fresh Start, this resident treatment facility. out on the Welcome Center. I'm looking for it real quick, and I probably set it down somewhere else. Thanks. There's some catalogs. It's called the Gifts That Change Lives catalog. The main reason I want to bring it to your attention is because in that catalog, there's a good story of how we got to where we are right now. Through Oasis in relationship. There it is right there. So these are out on the welcome desk. Grab one. This is also a great way if you're going, okay, I need to love somebody. How should I do that? There's some ideas in here. As I was thinking about and getting to help bring that story together and remembering how it all happened, I realized that that part of the story grew out of Oasis. And it actually got me curious again. This is just how my brain works about some of these. I'm like, okay, so what is an Oasis? How do you define that? Why did we name our ministry Oasis? So I did a little digging around. And typically an Oasis, middle of the desert, right? You know, weary travelers going along. They come across this place. It's an oasis. They can refill their water. They can keep going on in their travels. A lot of times these oases, if you look at them, they're topographically, like the one I was looking at was like 19 feet below sea level. And so the desert around it is higher, which brings the water table up. So this is so low that the water table actually breaks the surface. And that's why you get the fresh water there at the oasis. And so because there's fresh water there, then plants can grow and cities can grow up and you get that relief. So how did our Oasis ministry get to be called Oasis? Well, there was a young African-American boy who always walked past our church every day on his way home and to school. And he stopped one day to get a drink of water. And when he stopped to get a drink of water, somebody was there, said, "Hi, who are you? You want to stick around tonight? We got church tonight at Wednesday night. You want to stay?" And he stayed. And the next Sunday, he brought three of his siblings. And he taught us, and they taught us over bumpy times what it was to interact with these kids who didn't know how to be polite in church and how they were supposed to dress and how they were supposed to be. We became an oasis. We're not the source of the water. The living water is what was eventually offered to those kids. So this Oasis ministry, we got asked to be a part of this thing called a residential treatment facility, a residential treatment center, RTC. And in that, God has just woven beautiful things, beautiful expressions of his love. These boys are receiving love like they've never experienced in their life because of you and because of me and because of people like us that knows in our heart that God loves us, and we got to do something with that. We didn't love first. God did. God's the source of the love. We didn't create the water. The living water gives refreshment and new life. And if you and I, if we are really assured that we are loved by God through Jesus Christ, then we should be compelled to listen, love, love. We should be compelled to go into prisons and homes and schools in Spanish and in English and in every language, at work, wherever we are sent, and to be living as a people who are filled and compelled by love to be a loving people. That is Christmas, my friends. That is the heartbeat of what God did for us so many years ago and what God does for us every single day of our lives. That's love. That's real. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So I invite you. Let's keep being the church that doesn't show up on the placard as a sleepy church. Let's keep being the people that are filled beyond compare with the love of God, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Not that we would just be busy or that we would do things, but when there are needs that we see, when there are people before us, when there are places that God leads us and guides us by his Holy Spirit, let us go there with courage and not with fear. Let us not be afraid of the storm. Let us be the ones who are so filled with faith and confidence and love and hope and joy and peace in these words that we talk about, that the world sees what the church was created to be. You and me, this church. Let's be the church. Let's show the world what God's love can do. God, I thank you for the opportunity to speak of your love and the depth of your love and how you came to us and how you come to us and how you love us first and how you offer that to us, God. And then you just say, please, child, go. Love me. Love me first and love others. Help us, God. We know this isn't just a self-help program. This isn't just a let me add two more things onto my list and if I do them, then I'm a good Christian. No, let us help our hearts. Help a fire to be kindled in our hearts that will burn, because when we burn, others will come to see why we're burning. Help us be the light. May it all be for your glory. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.